All right, let's get started. Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Two Substitutes, Season 5. We are continuing on our hot streak of weekly episodes. I think we missed 1 week, so ignore that. Welcome back, Akshay. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Nice weather outside.
Perfect weather for the chai that we just had. Yes. Good week. I'm already ready for the weekend, though. As soon as Monday starts, I'm ready for the weekend.
Yeah, I guess like Thursday onwards or Wednesday evening onwards, it starts to kick in, like the game on the weekend, and you start sort of like figure out where to watch it. That's another complication in the United States. Whether it's on NBC or on Peacock or somewhere else.
It's a big day for FIFA enthusiasts also today. The Foot web app was released for people, for traders, you know. I'm a noob at that, but yes, I've seen many Twitter posts about the FIFA release. So good luck, guys, in your FIFA journey, road to glory, other stuff.
Yeah, the cycle starts again.
Cycle starts again, giving money to EA.
Yeah, and also grind out the transfer market.
Grind out transfer market, grind out matches, objectives. Complain to EA about the bad gameplay. We'll start all over again. And EA not giving a shit about any of that complaints.
And some patches coming up.
Some patches coming up, yes. Which will do nothing.
Nerf anything that's overpowered. And
creating other problems.
3-4 days, you'll see these videos popping up on YouTube about the meta or the new meta.
The meta. The meta of the game, guys. Meta of the game.
And then EA will try to nerf a few of the things that people find out. And I remember those like El Tornado crosses. that was fun.
And some things will still not change, like the 90th minute goals, kickoff bugs.
Kickoff bug has been there forever.
Yes. But let's get to real football now. That was fake football, no matter how real EA tries to make it. Let's do the same thing again, review the games from last weekend and then preview the upcoming games. Don't think we need to talk about the League Cup. I'm not that interested at this stage to
talk about that. Yeah, that's totally fine. I mean, we're in the third round of League Cup and it's a competition that people care about only when it goes to like a semi-final stage and your team is in.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll be interested. Otherwise, it's hard to get ready for that.
Yeah. If this was a Chelsea-specific podcast or Arsenal-specific for you, you would have talked about it, but we don't need to. Last week, let me pull up the games here. And you are also
Although
doing
we
the
should
same.
Mention that West Ham got the revenge and that was maybe the
I
only
you were going
revenge.
To say it. Yeah. West Ham got the revenge against Manchester United. Fine.
You and got their game in the league, I think we can start with that.
It West Ham, that's a good segue since we already are in it.
Entertaining game and
very entertaining game. Yes. Did you see the game or the
highlight? I saw the game.
Okay.
Especially like I think I saw only last 20 minutes and mm-hmm. Got to experience the drama that happened and cries for penalties and Ronaldo. Looking for a penalty and also not getting one where he should have got. The game had everything. I think it was
and I think for West Ham's on West Ham's side, they were really missing Antonio in that game. You see what he contributes. He runs in behind. He can also hold up the ball, bring in other players in. He has the pace. He has the finishing. So even though they created chances. Banarama got the deflected goal, which annoyed me a lot because I sold him in fantasy. But United were playing well in that game, I think. Ronaldo got another goal, off to a flying start again in the Premier League in his second debut this season.
He's performing to the level people expected of him and that's benefiting Manchester United for sure.
Yeah.
And the game, I think, last few minutes when Lingard scored at 84th minute or
something. Yeah, top right
and
that corner.
Looked like the winner. I mean, it did turn out to be the winner, but at that time, everyone was thinking that, okay, that's it. The game is done. We'll go on to win the game.
He scored but then, against his ex-club also, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. He came out from the bench and scored against West Ham. And Luke Shaw then
handled the ball
or a ball hit his hand. However, he did had his hands in
an unusual position.
Yeah, I mean, defenders are expected to...
I think I missed that. I think I stopped watching the game after Lingard scored. I thought, okay. But...
But yeah, his hands were out.
And okay.
They were not in unusual position, but in the box, I think defenders are instructed now to move their hands at the back and defend with that.
So,
as a handball and was a penalty. And then... David Moyes.
Funny thing, yeah. That this was funny to me. Just for the penalty,
penalty kick, and you would see that. I mean, I could see that West Ham was really happy that they got the penalty. It was really in the dying moments of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It was the last kick of the game, and
right.
You're seeing like Mark Noble just getting ready to come on, and he directly ran to the spot and
odds were with him also because De Gea has not saved a penalty in a long time before this game and Mark Noble usually always scores
the goal.
Everything was going for them
for 2-2
and
I was happy that they got the penalty and he's coming on just to take the penalty and it was a poor penalty in the end and
but also De Gea made a good save.
Right, yeah, it did not have much power,
mm-hmm.
and I guess the right way, and
unfortunately for you, they won the game.
Very upset with Mark Noble. He kind of like ruined my weekend. I think West Ham showed some fight.
They are playing well, and who knows, this could have been even more close if Antonio was playing. Antonio has been a really excellent performer this season.
Right, but the game actually summed up a lot of Premier League has to offer, that kind of like drama.
Yeah, goals, right until the end.
Penalty kicks and missing penalty and just like reaction in their faces when when it was saved. And then, you'd think that the penalty specialist would score it even if that's the only thing that he does.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't warming up or so.
No.
And then later on, I think pundits were making a point that he maybe like he was not fully ready and Moyes should have considered that you know, just to bring on someone to take the kick. But I think it's like if he scores that, then everyone
exactly about, like, plus how
good that decision was.
It was strange. Maybe they were meant to win the game. They are the high top scorers right now in the league with 13 goals. So they are scoring, but they're also conceding, which is good news for the other competitors in the league for them. It's turning out to be a very exciting title race.
Mm-hmm.
The top three teams are all tied. So talking of the top three, the big London derby also happened at Tottenham. The first half was really close, 50-50. I think Tottenham were creating chances also. We created chances, but very tight game. I was worried. And then in the second half, as all great managers do, I think Tuchel made an excellent choice to bring in Kante instead of Mount. Mount was not having a good game. And that just opened up everything. We dominated Tottenham after that in the second half. Alonso was... I don't know why. How Alonso keeps... He cannot defend, I think. He can defend... high balls, and if he has to clear from a header, he can do that. But his positioning in defense is not right. But his positioning and shots in the attack, as everyone knows, I think since Conte days, especially as a wing back, is so good. He was popping up alongside the striker and having some excellent shot. He could have had two or a hat trick also in that game. Playing well. So, yeah, second half was really good. Antonio Rudiger ended up scoring the goal also. For me, Thiago Silva was the man of the match in that game. And to think that he is 37 years of age.
Yeah, he's still doing it at a very high level, which is surprising.
Yeah, when the highest of level, if you think, in Premier League.
Yeah, and he also won the Champions League.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, like when he was signed for Chelsea, like everyone expected that he would be there to just...
Leadership role.
Mentor
maybe.
The new generation of centre-backs, but he's playing the main role in the defence. Yeah.
I like his personality also, and he looks very like he plays for the badge wherever he goes. Even at PSG, I think maybe he did not get the good send off, but he was always a good leader for them, I think. And Tuchel clearly likes him, so he's back with him now at Chelsea. So he was the man of the match for me. He made some good tackles also. Nothing was going past him, and N'Golo Kanté is N'Golo Kanté. I want him to win Ballon d'Or someday before he retires, please.
Yeah, I think it was tactically a good game to watch. With Spurs having somewhat of an upper hand in the first half, but then both managers, or I think Tuchel, making that change at halftime and see it totally reversed, because in the first half, Spurs were getting a lot of spaces, or they were creating spaces and should have scored at least a goal with the chances they had.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was 0-0, and I was thinking like maybe it stays that way, that would be better. But Chelsea, I think Tuchel is just on another level right now, where he can make those tactical decisions that
he doesn't
exactly turn the game in their favor.
And he's not afraid to do it right at halftime also. Like sometimes you see managers struggling to make those changes or make those tough decisions. Mount is a crowd favorite, and he was not having a good game, and Tuchel made that change right at halftime. So that was good. Another good thing is that we are not conceding goals easily, easy goals at least. Fingers crossed. So like our goal difference, we have only conceded one goal, so we are on par with Liverpool and Man City. So this is, and this win, this that extra goal by Rudiger pushed us to the top of the league. So I'm happy about that. So talking of top four, the surprise team in the fourth position is Brighton Albion. They beat Leicester 2-1. The first goal was very controversial. Neil Mopai, I don't know if it should have been a penalty.
I did not see that game or the
Okay. But yeah, I saw the highlights and didn't look like a penalty, but he got it. Another controversial call with penalties. As we talked about, there will always be a controversy with
refereeing decisions. Yeah.
Yeah. So Brighton and Hove Albion deserve a lot of credit. Graham Potter deserves a lot of credit for these results. Like, so strange, like they were not this good last season, but suddenly everything has changed.
The only thing to note there, like last season they were still creating chances, they were not scoring them or that.
But the players have not changed. They are the same players.
That's the thing, like they haven't signed the new striker, and I think everyone was saying that last season, even like if they had a prolific goal scorer, their results would be different. But this time, I think maybe Trossard was not fit for the full season, and now he is. And
your favorite Danny Boy also scored.
Danny Welbeck is having a good time at Brighton. I think he was scoring towards like the end of the last season when he was back with another injury. And if he stays fit, then I think they at least have someone like, you know, Mopai is good, I think. But I think Danny Welbeck is slightly better than him, and he might be taking up his spot. I'm not sure. But like footballing wise, I think they were playing like good brand of football even last season. But it's just that it wasn't happening for them. And this season looks like they are converting their chances into goals.
And talking of having a grave, I have another one for Jamie Vardy, because he messed up my fantasy again.
Right.
Not again, but he messed up the fantasy points, because I had two Brighton defenders And they were on course for a clean sheet, and a goalkeeper also. He was on course for a clean sheet, but they had to get one goal. Jamie Vardy scored one.
Triple damage.
So basically, talking of luck that we were talking about before the podcast started. Yeah, not happy with that. Okay, other games. Let's talk about Arsenal.
Arsenal with 1-0 win, another or second 1-0 win in consecutive.
Getting some results now. Odegaard scored the goal.
Yeah, and I think the game was, I think Burnley were they were physical in challenges.
As usual. Putting
in crosses and long balls in the box. And I think Ramsdale has been playing pretty well with that. I think he comes out for crosses and collects them with composure. So he's slightly better than Leno in that department. And his distribution is also, I think, better than Leno, where like when he kicks it, he's usually like trying to find the player rather than just kicking it.
Right.
And we look at the goalkeepers and we sometimes think that they just have to like boot it along wherever it goes. But it's an art, and very few goalkeepers can do it very well, where they can pick out a player with their passes. I think Ederson is pretty good, and Alisson too, I think, is good at finding.
Pickford is good to be fair. Yeah, he's good at that.
Right. So with Ramsdale, I think we have someone who can like try to find players, and his distribution has been better than Leno. So I think without him, we would have lost the game just by looking at the amount of crosses that he dealt with. And in the centre-back position, I think that's what you would talk about when you're playing against Burnley, like how good your centre-backs were. And Gabriel was good, and Ben White made an horrible error, but he was saved again by Ramsdale, where he made a back pass that was dangerous. Well, it's like
just see Lingard style
pass. But we're lucky that Ramsdale just got a foot to the shot that Brighton striker, I don't remember who that was, but he took
Brighton
a shot.
Or Burnley.
No, Burnley, sorry. He Chris took Wood? A shot and
or Ashley Barnes.
Chris Wood or Barnes. Not entirely sure.
Okay.
But yeah, like he took the shot and Ramsdale was just standing in front of him that time, and he was able to get his foot. Burnley were still claiming for a penalty, but I think in that situation, since he had touched the ball and then player was cleaned out because they were standing pretty close to each other. There was a VAR check and
VAR returns.
But it worked out. I think the goal stood, the decision stood, and a penalty was not given, and we got a goal from set piece with Odegaard. It was good to see, but otherwise, like attacking wise, we were
not creating as much.
I mean, we did create chances, but we did not create chances, but we had opportunities to do so. But final pass was lacking, or players were not on the same wavelength. Like you get frustrated when you see like a player just passing it right behind the striker, or just like just a little bit forward, and then defender comes in and collects it. So it was attacking wise, we were not that great, and I think that's something we need to fix. But Arteta is trying 4-3-3 or 4-1-4-1 kind of a formation, which has worked well against Burnley and Norwich. It'll be interesting to see what he does at the weekend.
Yeah, next game week is very important, and it's strange. I was about to talk about that in the review, but let's talk about it now, I guess. That Tottenham started the season so well, but if you win this game against Tottenham, you'll be above them.
That's like mind the gap.
Football changes so quickly.
Yeah, just before the international break, Spurs were top of the league.
Yeah.
We were at the bottom of the league.
Yeah.
And now going into the next international break, we might be level on points with them, and if we beat them convincingly, we might even be above them, but I don't think that's possible. We need like 4-0 win for
that.
But yeah, overall, good signs, and our new signings, again, they all started and they looked good. And that's what you would like to see with the new signings. So yeah, happy with the result. I don't think like we can complain much, but attacking wise, we need improvement if we want to get something out of Spurs game on the weekend.
Yeah, that would be, yeah, Tottenham playing two London derbies consecutively, that would be interesting.
Yeah, and then for Spurs, they were beaten by Chelsea quite convincingly, and we'll see like how they bounce back. But yeah, it's surprising that Kane hasn't scored in the Premier League this season.
Yeah, very strange. First four games, this has not happened in, yeah, I was reading that stat, like in a long time, right? Or maybe never happened that he hasn't scored in first four.
And yeah, he usually scores against Arsenal, so I'm hoping that we prevent him from scoring, and if we can, then we might be able to get a win against them. It's going to be an interesting game, and if we can beat them, there'll be like a perfect moment for us to turn this season, or the start that we had, like a horrible start that we had into like a more like an average start, you would say. Like we'll have 9 points if we can beat them, and only loss that we had was against Brentford, who did play amazingly well on the weekend.
Okay, you mentioned Brentford, so yeah, we can talk about that also.
Remember, they're looking like a different team altogether. Yeah, like
remember when we talked about Wolves and how they were playing so well and they deserved win in previous games, but this game they didn't deserve anything. Like they were not good at all. Maybe for a few minutes at the start they were playing well, but then Brentford deserved to win this game. And yeah, their defense has been very solid so far, and now they are scoring also. Like Ivan Toney got an assist and the penalty goal.
Yeah, and he is a handful for defenders to deal with. I think he's very powerful and pace. It's a good combination to have a striker. And I think they're playing pretty well. And I think our first loss to them doesn't feel that bad if we see them playing now. Especially with our team, like half of our team not playing, or half of our first team not playing in that game.
Right. And
so future is looking pretty bright for
Brentford,
and they might be like the best team to
get
promoted this season.
Yeah, so they're not giving get promoted, you mean?
Yeah.
Like finish high.
Oh, I mean like coming from the championship. Norwich, Brentford, and Watford.
Yeah, Norwich look like they're repeating the same mistakes they had the last time they were promoted. But yeah, the another surprising thing was Wolves couldn't even trouble Brentford even after they went down to 10 men. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's very strange for Wolves and good for Brentford. Let's talk about Norwich City and Watford maybe a little bit. I didn't see this game, but Norwich lost at home, so they are once again
bottom.
They already look like they are in the relegation fight. Like they have not looked like they are able to win any game, which is very surprising. At least I understand they don't want to get rid of their philosophy of playing attacking football, but nothing is working for them at the moment. And Watford created a lot of chances. Miles Haar got a goal.
Yeah, I think
two goals.
These creative or tricky players. I think would he be one of the ones who's playing now? I haven't seen him play, but
no, he's not. He is
tricks, but
yeah, he's not pace. He's more pace, more like maybe Adama Traore. But I've not seen that the thing we were talking about from him.
Yeah, I only remember his Liverpool game.
He was unplayable in that game.
He scored a couple of goals and he was amazing. And I think he's doing really well this season. Might be like a decent fantasy league shout if you want some differential.
Yeah, I know people got a lot of 16 points from him last game week, and that annoyed me again. Let's move on to Liverpool Crystal Palace, another team who are looking once again title contenders. 3-0 win against Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace couldn't repeat the form they showed against Spurs. Easy win for Liverpool. Mane scored goal, which was his 100th for the for Liverpool. He scored his 100th goal, I think.
Yeah.
Salah scored his 100th last game, right? Or something, or two very games recently, before. Yeah. So
yeah, Mane and Salah both are amazing wingers to have. And Mane especially, I think we talked about it last season as well, with the way he has carried himself at Liverpool, like coming from Southampton and not being like one of the best players. I think when Salah came, he was like, he had that X factor even when he came, and there were not many doubts that like he will shine at Liverpool. And but with Mane, it was more sort of like, can he make that step up to a big club? Because that was the first time he was playing for a big club. But yeah, I think he is possibly one of the best wingers in the Premier League in his position for sure.
Another annoying thing that happened in this game in regards to fantasy was Ahmed Salah. He scored the goal, but then he took off his shirt and got himself yellow carded for no reason. So, minus points.
But with Salah, I think he's owned by like 50% of the people, so you don't really like miss out much.
That's true.
Still, I thought like you would talk about the left back.
Oh, left back. Yeah, that was that was just unlucky. And left back, right back mostly. Trent Alexander-Arnold for some reason felt sick the day of the game, and you can't really.
Make any adjustment for that.
Yeah. Aston Villa, Everton were looking in good form, but Aston Villa got the win in this game. This game week was very surprising. Like most of our
predictions didn't go well.
Lucas Digne got an own goal. It was a wonderful header if he was playing for the other team, but
he was in my fantasy team as well, and he made me frustrated.
One player who's looking good also is Leon Bailey.
Oh, yeah. He has scored a couple of goals now.
But yeah.
And is he like, he's not starting for them, which is surprising.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think maybe Dean Smith is taking it slow with him. But he's also injury prone. I think he's coming back from injury. So
let's see.
But yeah, he got his goal. Matty Cash got another goal for them.
Aston Villa is sort of like strange team to see, I guess. Like sometimes they'll win out of nowhere and they lose.
And yeah, they'll miss Jack Grealish, even though it's it will be hard for them this season. I think they'll be around like 11th, 12th. And maybe next season they can come back again. But yeah, good win for them against Everton, who were playing well before this. One interesting game, I saw this game, Man City and Southampton. Yeah, Southampton could have easily won this game. This game happened after Pep Guardiola slammed City supporters for not filling up the stadium, I think.
Yeah, it's strange to see that topic being mentioned so much and has become like a talking point or a controversial point. Like what comments that he made and interpretation of it.
Right. He also said if you want me to leave, I'll leave the club or something like that. Right. If you saw that.
Yeah, and it's like even their fans are not taking it in the right manner. I guess they were saying like Pep to leave or like something.
Some fans, yeah.
Like, yeah, some fans were not happy with his comments, and people were talking about, like, you know, ticket prices and how like City fan can afford to watch like all of their games just because they are in so many competitions.
Yeah.
And with COVID or with the pandemic, financial situation for everyone is bleak at the moment, and he can't expect everyone to be there or like their stadiums full if they're playing sort of like, you know, championship clubs or you know, playing
against lower,
like
lower
clubs, then like not many fans would be interested in watching and splashing their money for that game. And yeah, it's it's funny that that issue came up, and but sometimes like you can also see Man City fans not being too vocal, and I think maybe that's what Pep Guardiola was hinting at, maybe like not the numbers but the way they support, because like for other clubs, if you talk about like Liverpool fans or United fans and like, you know, like all the big club fans, you talk about the atmosphere that they build in their home stadiums. Like with Man City, I don't think like we ever talk about like intimidating atmosphere at at their stadium, like at the Etihad Stadium.
I don't know why that is. Like they have had now like consistent success for a few years. Not like they're a new winning team in the Premier League. So and it's not just bias, but you see like any other fan talk about the lack of atmosphere at City Ground. But coming back to the game, it was a good point for Southampton, and as we said, they could have won the game. There was a big penalty shout which I didn't agree with. I think City fans of course will agree with that, but the referee showed the red card and gave the penalty to Southampton. Red card to Kyle Walker, but then reversed his decision after watching.
So they didn't get the penalty, and the red card was
also reversed. Yeah,
I see.
It should have been red card if I had my opinion. Just my opinion, guys. But yes, based on other decisions that have been made, should have been a penalty. But good point for Southampton. They are still. They have not won a single game yet, but this will give them good confidence, I think. I'm excited to watch Southampton do well also, because they have Tino Livramento, like I said, who we sold, and another striker. We have Armando Broja, who comes on as a sub now. I think he'll soon get his first team debut.
And you're playing Man City next?
Yeah, our first 7 games were really tough. I think this will be the last one of those. So if we can navigate this, will be good for us.
Yeah, and I think this will be like a bigger game for Man City than Chelsea, because if Man City lose this game,
they
might be out of the. I mean, not no, out no, of the they'll not race, be. Yeah, they'll definitely not have the upper hand in the race, because. Chelsea, and because if Man City lose, that means like Chelsea wins,
and it will be a big game for us also. If we can win this, it will really put us in the driving seat, because we have had most of the tough games out of our way, and then we can try to build on that. So could be very interesting, and maybe Pep has a vendetta against Chelsea also, because he has not managed to beat Tuchel in last 4 games, three games.
Yeah, and I think like a draw will keep them in the hunt, but loss to any team here would be, I mean, like basically we're finding out like who the title challenger would be, or whoever wins will have like an upper hand in the race. And if Chelsea wins it, I think many people would predict them to win the league.
Yeah,
with the way they're playing right now.
Yeah, I think the table right now is a fair description of how it should be, I think, based on how teams are playing.
Chelsea has won all of their games quite convincingly.
Chelsea and Liverpool both have the same goal difference, same goals against. We are just ahead based on head-to-head, because we were playing at Anfield and we got a draw against them. So
interesting. And then Manchester United, who are they playing against? Because they're second in the table and they're playing against Aston Villa. Yep.
Aston Villa. Okay. Wait. So we can preview the next Aston game. Villa. I'm just looking at if any other games are left from the last week.
No, I guess like there was early game on Friday, Newcastle.
I think we talked about that though.
St. Maximin.
The same podcast. We did a podcast last Friday, so we talked about that. True. But so let's preview the game. We can start with the Manchester United game, since you already mentioned it. So
Man U versus Aston Villa. Aston Villa is like hit and miss, I feel like, sometimes in these big games.
Yeah,
they may turn up or they may lose badly. I hope like they may be able to get a draw, just because of how West Ham was against Man United. And
but Aston Villa, they are also coming off of that loss against Chelsea in the EFL Cup today.
Yeah.
So it would be both of the teams will not have like a positive result to go off of.
Right.
But I just saw that both of those, even the Chelsea Man City game is at the same time as Manchester United Aston Villa. So I don't know what to hope. I'll have two screens. I don't want.
Yeah, I'll go with a draw in this game.
Okay, you're going for a draw?
Yeah, Aston Villa, Man U.
I think every time Manchester United come back from a defeat, Ole manages to get a win in the league at least. So I think they'll win this game.
Okay.
It could be a big scoreline for United, I think. Chelsea-Man City would be very interesting. Based on form, I would hope Chelsea should win this game. We are playing at home also. If not, I'll take a draw also.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to lose this game, basically. Because just to assert our dominance. Because we have been playing well so far. It's hard to score against us.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we can frustrate Pep again. and then he can go back to complaining about his fans. So wait, what? Maybe I'll be biased, but what's your opinion about this game?
I think it will be tough to decide like how this game goes because Chelsea, like you said, has been like the best team in the league so far. Man City have got like 5-0 wins against us and Norwich City, and sometimes when they get going,
they
really
can
hard
really
to,
score
to stop them.
Yeah,
and they can also like beat any opposition, but just with the struggles that Pep had with Tuchel and how good Tuchel has been and Chelsea playing at home, I would lean towards Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't say for sure that they'll win it, so I'll again go with a draw, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. I just hope if I don't want a draw. But if there is a draw, I want a goalless draw. I just want to keep our clean sheet
sheets.
Records intact, basically. Another big game I think I want to talk about is not big game, but maybe let's see. Let's look at the Leeds West Ham could be interesting. Leeds defense has been atrocious so far, and even their attack, they're creating chances as usual, but they are not scoring as many as I would have hoped. I think even in last game, Rafinha got few chances, but he didn't score.
Yeah, same with Bamford too. I think they get chances, but just they need some like cutting edge or like edge in their finishing.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think Bamford takes shots, but they are like aimed straight at the goalkeeper. But I think he'll need some time to perfect that.
And they are playing against an in-form West Ham team also with Antonio coming back.
Antonio coming back? Nice.
He'll be back.
Yeah, I think that's a huge boost for West Ham. And I guess if Antonio is back in their lineup, you would have to go with West Ham.
Yeah, I also had West Ham winning this game. It's not... Obviously, anything can happen in football, but from whatever we have seen, West Ham look like clear favorites in this game. And then Everton against Norwich City, again from previous results, this should be an easy win for Everton, unless Norwich can spring a surprise. Everton got knocked out of the EFL Cup, by the way.
So
Liverpool fans were celebrating, that's how I knew on Twitter. Brentford and Liverpool, this could be interesting because this will be, apart from like the normal big teams, I would count Arsenal, yes. Like this will be their next big game, right? Since the...
Yeah, it's...
Or have they played any before this? I think only Arsenal was the one, right?
Yeah.
So Brentford against Liverpool would be interesting. Can they maintain their strong defense? Can Ivan Toney cause problems? Ivan Toney against Van Dijk.
Yeah, it's a good matchup, and Brentford has been solid in defense as well. And but I think Liverpool will win it because they are in good form.
Yeah, that's my prediction also. Liverpool to win this game. Look, the Premier League race is looking very tight.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, or it will be interesting to see what match will tilt the race in one favor, like for pundits and
fans. Yeah, so no game until like I think maybe December when
it's a, later on in the season. Yeah.
More evident about the implications of a loss or a draw on the race
itself. Yeah.
But right now, I think even though any team loses, they will have time to
bounce back,
their way back, yeah, or close the gap that they might have because of losses.
Yeah. Arsenal Spurs, we talked about it a little bit earlier, that this would be interesting. North London derby. If Arsenal win this game, they'll go above Tottenham, and Tottenham are under pressure also to win this game after a few bad games recently in the Premier League, at least. So Arsenal, out of these two teams, Arsenal are the team in form, and they're playing at home. So this means Arsenal will lose this game, right? Yeah, that's how football works. But
what? Yeah, it's a massive game for us, and
I cannot predict actually, because Spurs have Harry Kane, even though he has not been on form. Mm-hmm. He can score. There's always a possibility of him scoring.
Yeah, that's true. And he has a good record against us. I think it's hard to predict for me too, but it's a massive game for us, and we'll have to win it to start moving in the right direction. We have got 1-0 wins, but you would always say that it's only Norwich, it's only Burnley that we're beating. If we can beat Spurs, then that would really help the confidence of the team as well as the morale, and maybe fans will forget the rough start we had this season.
Right.
And I think and given the current form, I think that we have a chance to beat them, because Spurs, we're not playing that well even with their first three wins in a row. They were all 1-0 wins, and you would say that they got lucky at times, but in Harry Kane and Son, they have two world-class finishers that we don't have right now. Aubameyang is somewhat out of form, and other players are relatively new. No one can be no one is at the same level as these guys.
Yeah.
And that's what matters sometimes in the games. You just need to put the ball in the back of the net, and we don't have a striker in form at the moment.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if Spurs will go for the attack. Usually they are going on counter attacks against the big teams, but I think even Arsenal do that now.
Yeah.
So this could be interesting, what philosophy will they go for, what playing style in this game.
So, looking at the team sheet, I think Spurs look like the stronger of the team, but I'll have to go with Arsenal win.
You will have to. I'll be going, if I had to pick, I'll pick Arsenal because I hate Tottenham more. So
that's good.
The big other game was Southampton Wolves. Southampton, as we already mentioned, have not won a game yet. So, and they are coming off a good draw against City, so they will be more positive than Wolves, who lost today also in the EFL Cup, although it was close. But the big negative for them was that loss against Brentford last weekend. So, can they bounce back? At least, they didn't even look good in attack, I think, last week. Although they were looking very good before that, every time they played, they were pleasing to the eye, as they say. But, Southampton Wolves don't have a prediction for this. I'll go for a Southampton win, because they are just coming off of a better result against a big team. So,
cool. For me, hard to predict both these teams because they were kind of blowing hot and cold this season. Anything can happen. I guess I'll just go with the home team.
Home team win.
Yeah.
And Armando Broja to score. Chelsea Loney, come on. And on Monday is another big game, at least for Brighton, because they're in top four. They're playing against Crystal Palace away from home, and this could be a game where they lose finally, I think. Because Crystal Palace are that topsy-turvy. They can lose one time 3-0, as we were talking about, and then they can win this game also easily.
Yeah, with Zaha, you never know. Like, on his day, he can get like a couple of goals easily, and and the game will be open just because Brighton play or likes to play attacking football, and that might suit Crystal Palace as well on the counter-attacks.
They have one of the better defensive record also, Brighton. They are playing well in defense, conceded only 4 goals, but they've also scored only 7. I think the other team with similar record is Brentford, with 5 goals scored and 2 conceded. They're 9th in the league, so good for them. Any other games happening in other leagues that you would be interested in? I'm trying to see.
No, I haven't looked at the schedule for other leagues.
I saw,
just because there are so many games nowadays, if there is a weekend or midweek games involved.
Yeah. Randomly, I would like to mention that, yeah, Messi so far has been having a not so good time at PSG. Yeah. He's been unlucky. Now he got injured again. So, and I think if you, I don't know if you saw, it was on social media, like Pochettino substituted Messi and he didn't look happy with him. All these controversies are happening again.
Yeah, and then PSG were playing today, I think.
Yeah, yeah, they won today. Oh, I saw that. But Messi wasn't there. In Serie A, Inter is back on top of the league. Without Conte.
Wow, it's good Hakimi to see. Scored 2 goals and 1 right at the dead to win them. He was otherwise he was going for
Hakimi, the the goal scoring striker that they have. Yeah. At one point in the transfer window, Chelsea were also in rumored to be signing Hakimi. Never happened. I would have liked to see. He's a good wing back.
Yeah, he
and he's
has
young.
Been playing well, young and has a lot of potential, and he's doing well at PSG.
And then also then next week the Champions League is coming back also for round 2 again. I think we are playing Juventus, so that will be a big game on Wednesday. Juventus against Chelsea. PSG and Man City are playing. So
wow,
Messi
so
against
both teams have.
I like hope Messi is
game to look at as well.
Yeah, I hope Messi is not injured in that game. I want to see him play against Pep.
Yeah.
Real Madrid are playing against the debutant Sheriff, who got an interesting win in the first round. but Real Madrid, Ancelotti so far has been having a good time at there. Like they are winning games. Camavinga, people I think did not expect them to start Camavinga, but he has been getting game time by Ancelotti, so good for him. I like him, he's a good young midfielder. BSC Young Boys are playing against Atlanta. If they win this game, it will put them in a good driving seat.
Yeah, and United, Matthew are playing against
the Europa League final replay. Villarreal. Yeah. Ole could be under pressure if they lose this game.
Yeah. And I think like that game might be a draw or something, because Villarreal are tough to score against. And the Super Cup.
Super Cup. It went to penalties. So they are a good team, or at least they are tough to break down. And I don't want to talk about Europa League, but if you
I don't want to talk about it either.
All right, then any other news?
I guess just a lot of games, and it's good that it's
just happy to see
football is back. Yeah, and season is in full swing right now.
Yes,
with Champions League games and
every time
games, and
I wake up on weekends, I'm happy because there is a there's football going on. All right, then I think we can wrap this up.
Yep,
good talk, And as usual, before we go, where can the people find us, Akshay?
People can find us on Twitter,
yes, Facebook, yes,
Instagram,
yes,
and all other
Spotify, podcasting all platforms. Wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes. Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for joining, Akshay. And have a good rest of the week.
All right.
Bye.
An introduction for the two substitutes as they combine to get Chelsea a third. Chelsea in the home straight in the Premier League title race.